Hi, my name is Batya Friedman. I'm a professor at the University of Washington. I'm here interviewing Chief Taku. It is November 3rd, 2008, and with me is Professor Ron Sly from Seattle University Law School and Max Andrews, who's our cinematographer. So, Chief Taku, could I ask you to please introduce yourself, say your name, your role here at the ICTR, and your nationality?
You've rightly said, my name is Chief Charles Taku. I'm lead counsel in the Military Two Trial. I first came here in 1999 as lead counsel for Laurence Samanza. I'm also lead counsel in the Special Court for Sierra Leone in the case of Prosecutor versus Revolutionary United Front for Sierra Leone. I'm lead counsel for Mr. Maurice Calhoun. And I'm lead counsel here. In the Military Two Trials, I've just said, I come from Cameroon.
Thank you. So, can you tell us a little bit about your role as lead counsel? And when you say lead counsel, you mean lead counsel for the defense?
Yes, I'm lead counsel for the defense.
Yes.
I first came here on the 23rd of October, 1999, mm-hmm. As co-counsel in the case of Prosecutor versus Laurence Samanza. And a few months after, I became lead counsel, and I've been lead counsel all along. The case of Samanza ended in sometimes in 2004, and I was appointed lead counsel in 2005, at the Revolutionary United Front for Sierra Leone. That's for Major Maurice Calhoun. And 2 months after, I was appointed here again as lead counsel in Military Two, as lead counsel for Major François Xavier Nzouenemeye, who was the commander of the Reconnaissance Battalion of the Rwandan Army. And as lead counsel, virtually a coordinator of a legal team constituted by the tribunal to defend the accused persons. And I have under me a co-counsel, and I have a number of legal assistants and investigators. And lead counsel, I direct the team, the defense team, as it were. And now Beth Lyons, whom you know, became a co-counsel about more than a year ago. I met her here on the visit from the U.S. and when I was doing Samanza, and she was sitting in the gallery. And when she went back, she sent a card to me, and I found that very, very touching, because many people, thousands of people come, and nobody does that. And I said, this must be a very good lawyer. So we invited her to come back here and join the team. Unfortunately for me, when she came, my former co-counsel, Alao, is from Benin Republic. He had become a lead counsel for Colonel Alois Simba. So he was faster than me, and he got her as co-counsel in that team. And when the case ended, I was happy enough to bring her back to come and work with me. So, as I say, a lead counsel is the one who coordinates the entire defense. Mm-hmm. Of an accused person, mm-hmm. and that's the role I play either here or in Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to take you back to the spring of 1994.
Yeah.
And so in 1994, in the spring, where were you and what were you doing at that time?
Well, about that time, I was in Cameroon. I followed the story like every other person about what was happening in Rwanda, unfortunately. A particular interest to me was the fact that the elements that led, the factors or the elements that led to the calamity in Rwanda are present in many African countries, including my own country. The conduct of the politicians, excruciating poverty, economic factors, and of course the duplicity of the international community in situations like this. So I followed the events, and I followed the events painfully. As I watch over the television or listen to the news, and there was nobody there to do anything to help these people of Rwanda to solve this problem. And most striking of all was the fact that the United Nations was actually there on the spot. And what came to my mind as, what use is the United Nations? What use is the United Nations that even their presence cannot preempt a calamity of that nature? So I was in Cameroon. But later did I know that I would play a role in the one way or other at some point in time.
So, and what were you doing in Cameroon at that time in your country?
Well, in Cameroon at the time, we were facing a serious crisis at the time, because I come from the English-speaking part of Cameroon, mm-hmm. and these were two trust territories were under the British, and the French majority were under the French, and were as trust territories that the UN had a mandate to lead to independence. It was never foreseen the UN charter that it could lead to what at the time we thought was annexation. That instead of leading our own part of the country to independence, because we were a former German colony and a trust territory of Great Britain, brought us into what we considered as some form of annexation, in that our own part was just annexed to the French Cameroons. And the people population was agitating at that time. Thousands of people were agitating that they want independence, nothing but independence. The policies of the majority in power, the French majority in power, were very oppressive. And I, at that time, had been on the Bar Council, member of executive of the Bar Council, and also one of the perhaps very visible lawyers at the time, because a lot of people were arrested. Many of them died in detention. And at least 92 people were brought before the military court, and they were being indicted before the military court, civilians, of course, for treason. That carries mandatory death sentence under the Cameroonian military court. And I was the lead counsel defending these people. And the case was going on around the time that this was happening. And we just thought that, oh, maybe this crackdown may lead to some other serious crisis. At that time, we need also not just to defend the courtroom, but to get international support, because we saw that the military people were not people who can do justice to civilians, and especially as there was no reason to bring them to a military court in the first place. These were civilians, they were not armed, there was no reason to bring them there. More important, but because they were arrested from the English-speaking part of Cameroon and carried over to the French-speaking part to be subjected under a different legal system and to be tried in a language they didn't understand. And we're busy trying to rally international support, the embassies in Yaoundé. And at some point in time, I left and went to Washington. And they thought that the press in Washington could help us. I went to the Voice of America. Scott Steen was still a very young reporter at the time, preparing at the time to come to the Great Lakes. So he was asked to interview me, and I was there with him in the program English to Africa for over a week, highlighting the problems with this trial, that the fair trial issues, and of course he did a very effective job. At the end, when we came back, the Voice of America actually helped us in really propagating, I mean, our own side of the story, because back home the media is controlled by the government, so nobody could have known exactly our own story. When I came back now, almost most of the people were acquitted, but a few of them, some 20 years, some 15 years, I think one or two lives here. And for us, in under the circumstances, it was a victory, thanks to the Voice of America, thanks to the international community, because the U.S. Embassy in Yaoundé also, they were very interested in the case. They came to me at every turn, and they were in court at every session of the trial. So these two events were going on simultaneously with what was happening in Rwanda. and we were telling the journalists, the Voice of America, telling the Cameroon government, let there not be another Rwanda. This is leading to another Rwanda. This is leading to another genocide, and so on and so forth. And therefore, you'll be surprised that it is my performance in that case that played a role in me being called upon shortly thereafter to come and defend here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.